I'm Leanne Tran, psychologist who's worked with families whose kids don't fit the mold for almost 20 years. I've worked with children for decades, but I know parents are the real change makers when it comes to their kids. Having three kids of my own means I know it's not easy. Parent Like a Psychologist is all about simplifying how you support your kids with psychology information filtered through years of experience to take you from overwhelmed to confident. Come on in. Hi, thanks for joining me again today. I'm talking about melatonin today because prompted by a visit to a supermarket in the US and seeing the massive section of melatonin that they have here. And because melatonin and sleep challenges is something that I talk with parents about a lot. And the reason is, I think when kids aren't sleeping well, we are not sleeping well. Parents are not sleeping well. So, and we need sleep to function, to do our jobs, but also to be calm, to not be angry, or, you know, mood challenges and energy challenges and all the stuff goes out the window if we're not sleeping well. So it's a really hot button topic. The regulations over here in America are different. So I'm just going to talk through the regulations, what melatonin is for starters, the regulations, recommendations, and then putting it into context with some sleep hygiene tips as well. So melatonin is medication that's used as a sleep aid. It's a hormone that's naturally produced in our brains after dark. And the idea is it tells us that it's time to go to sleep now. And it regulates our circadian rhythm, which is the going to sleep and then the waking up in the morning. It's really, you know, so there's, it's a naturally occurring hormone. So it's seen as quite safe, but there are some side effects from its use as well. And for that reason, it's free to buy in America here, but in Australia, you can buy it over the counter if you're over 55. Or for children, it's recommended, or it's by prescription from a GP or pediatrician. And it's really good for initiating sleep. So with sleep, there are lots of different challenges that can occur. Melatonin is good for what we call sleep initiation, which means falling asleep. But it's not great at, or doesn't really affect wakefulness throughout the night. And to deal with that, you're looking at different medication, but also different approaches. And so lots of time having trouble falling asleep is due to regulation, but it's also kind of seen as a behavioral challenge. And what we mean by that is not that it's kids' bad behavior. It's just that it's not necessarily a physical difficulty. It's more of a, it relates to our behavior. So what we're doing, how we're approaching sleep as individuals and as parents. So I think the point about the pediatrician or GP is important because I'm not sure exactly how many people are using melatonin. Some estimates are quite high, but there are, in 2021 anyway, there are about 2,000 calls to the Westmead Hospital about side effects from the medication. So I do think it's a good idea to see a GP or pediatrician about the melatonin rather than trying to buy it yourself somehow. And that's because they can keep an eye on those side effects. Some of the side effects do include things like night terrors as well. So there's no real point falling asleep if then you're going to wake up with night terrors. So it's worth weighing up those pros and cons, benefits and side effects with a doctor. The other thing I wanted to mention is that often, I guess this from my point of view as a psychologist, and the point of view of pediatricians that I work with as well, is that melatonin can be really helpful at initiating that sleep in the context of really good sleep hygiene and sleep routines as well. And so often if you see a pediatrician or a GP, and definitely a psychologist, we would talk about using it maybe for a couple of weeks in the context of using all of those other strategies that promote good sleep, and not just relying on the medication itself. Because like any medication for things like anxiety and sleep, other things, it does make a physical difference, but without that change in your routines and habits, things won't improve unless you keep taking the medication. And so I think that's partly what can happen sometimes with kids using melatonin, is that they'll take that and have that be the only thing that's done to address the sleeping. And that's why it's designed to be, I think, monitored by a GP and a pediatrician to help with all those other things. I will go through a bit about the sleep hygiene as well. And I'm basing this on a fact sheet that I often share with parents. It's from the Center for Clinical Interventions. So available on the internet. I'll put a link to the fact sheet in the show notes for the episode, because it's super easy for parents to read and understand. And the thing is, there's about 15 suggestions on there, which is, you know, just, it seems like a lot, but it's also not really a lot. You don't need to put them all in place at once, but it's definitely more than you'll be able to remember as you listen to this podcast, unless you're taking copious notes, which I really suspect you're not, because I wouldn't be. It's a great one to print out, put on the fridge, and always I recommend working on a couple of things at a time, perfect them and then, or get them, you know, handled, and then add a few more in. So sleep hygiene is referred to the practices that kind of set up a good sleeping environment and habits for us. So I'll run through the tips and then tell you about how melatonin fits into that. So one of the things is to get regular, which means the same bedtime and same wake time each morning. So that consistency really helps kids get into the pattern of when they should be going to sleep and when they should be waking up. Interestingly, I think too, how melatonin fits is that it's what tells us to wind down at night, and what then the light is what tells us to wake up in the morning. Same bedtime, same wake time. While you're doing this, it can be really helpful at that wake time to get out of the, get out of the house into the sunlight, because that is going to promote that melatonin starting. So sleep when you're sleepy is another piece of advice. If you haven't been able to get to sleep after 20 minutes or so, get up and try and reset. So that might mean going back into a couple of steps into the morning routine. Try to set it up so that you have some sleep rituals, and that might mean that in the morning, in the evening, you start with doing things like turning down the lights early in the evening or after dinner, because that can mimic that darkness that sets the melatonin. So that means using dimmer lights if you can, lamps. That's also why we say no technology and no mobile phones before bed. And then trying to do other things like read a book, have some quiet family time or connection time can be a really nice thing to add into your sleep routine. And so if you can't go to, if the kids aren't getting to sleep, you know, for a while, come out, reset, maybe go back a few steps to having quiet time and then going to bed and doing books and reading and lights off again. Interestingly, I think one of the, there's a pediatric, pediatric and adolescent speech, sleep specialist. I need a speech specialist. Pediatric and adolescent sleep specialist, Chris Seaton at the Westmead Hospital, who was doing some studies about this thing. And what he found is that it's a lot of the time it's phone use that's preventing sleep issues. So I would add in there to have the phones out of the bedroom. I think that's a really important thing. And I even go so far as our house, like we have one of those lock boxes that you can charge the devices in overnight and they get locked so kids can't come out and get them. I think I've heard a study from one of our pediatricians that the smaller the device, the worse it is in terms of sleep interference. So TV is better than iPad, just better than a phone. So phones are probably the worst things we could use. And I think so out of the bedroom all the time is a good idea. Locked away too, because then kids can't access it first thing in the morning. And that kind of disrupts that waking up process as well. So they may be getting up earlier to check their iPad and that kind of thing. So keeping them away and having the restrictions on them so they can't use them until the time that you set is a great idea. The other thing I wanted to mention was that the teenagers in his study relied less, so they did less of these good sleep hygiene practices when they were taking melatonin because they could rely on the drug to do that for them. And I know I've been guilty of that myself over here with jet lag and stuff is how it came to be that I was so fascinated in melatonin because I have been using it here with jet lag to try and get myself in the right zone. But it's occurred to me sometimes, I'll take my melatonin and then I can just still lay down and look on Instagram or something like that, which is so counterproductive. And I get it, you know, it's a time when you want to relax and that kind of thing, but really not the best approach. And it shows why the sleep hygiene is important. Melatonin can be one part of that where you take it at a certain part in this routine, but trying to stick to the sleep routine with the melatonin for 2 weeks or so and then trying to fade it out is a much better approach to take. And nothing is for everyone. So your family will form their own sleep routine, sleep habits, sleep hygiene, and that's okay. Refine it, talk to somebody if you need some help, or you can look at the links that I'll post as well, because I think that could be a really good way to remind yourself of the strategies to use and put them into place. Thanks so much for joining me. I'm getting kicked out of my escape pod in the airport, so I will finish it here and look forward to chatting again soon. Thanks for listening in again.
Thanks for listening to this episode of Parent Like a Psychologist. If you found it helpful, please share on Instagram so other parents can benefit too, and tag me at Leanne Tran Psychology so that I can say a big thank you. Head over to leannetran.com.au to join the village for bite-sized psychology tips straight to your inbox. I really hope this podcast has brought a new perspective and you a step closer towards a calm parent and a thriving child. Have a delightful day.